Matthew chapter 13. I've been teasing the men at the back, asking them, what did I speak on last week? And they couldn't remember. But then I said, the harvest. And I said, and what do you think I'm going to speak on next week? And they said, the harvest. And so if you want to know, in this Lord's Day, what I've spoken on, it has been the harvest. But our Lord is he who placed all these references to the harvest in the scriptures. And please notice the great variety and the various aspects of the harvest that our Lord has given. I've spoken to you on Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, perhaps the most familiar portion about the harvest in Matthew chapter 13. Since we're just a few of us here, and I think I know the profession of most of you, I'm going to give you a little more detailed teaching than I would if we had a lot of visitors. So please notice at first in Matthew chapter 13, the first parable is the parable of the sower. And he tells us that in this parable, the seed is the word of God and the soil is the human heart. But after this parable, something has taken place. The seed sown in the human heart, some of the hearts turn out to be good soil, and that good soil produces children of God. And then, here it's just seed. But now, let's see how it is spoken of after the seed has reproduced. Look at verse 24. Matthew 13, verse 24. Another parable set he before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed your bad seed, tares also among the wheat, and went away. But when the blade sprang up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So notice, in this field, you have good seed sown, and you have bad seed sown. And the good seed are described as wheat, and the bad seed are described as tares. Distinct. Now, look at verse 26. But when the blade sprang up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. It wasn't apparent at first. But after a little growth, then you could distinguish between the wheat and the tares. Verse 27. And the servant of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? Whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. And the servant say unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest by chance, while you gather up the tares, you root up the wheat with them. So do you see? The good seed, wheat, the bad seed, tares. Verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest. Now this is the harvest that I'm telling you about today. Let both grow together until the harvest. Please notice, only one thing is said about the seed. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather up first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, if you will consider the simple facts of this, it will help you to understand when the Savior gives you the explanation. So before we read the explanation, let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we do thank you for the way that your Son expressed truth. We are glad that he tells us of a work of God carried on by his Son who came forth from heaven. We are glad that he leaves us in no confusion about the purpose, about the outcome, about the interference of the work that he came from heaven to do. And we desire to know what Paul said about this evil one. We are not ignorant of his devices. Let us know that the world is ignorant of his devices. And the last, Father, many of your own children are ignorant of his devices. But thy Son is seeking to expose the God of this world, Satan, and show us of his devices. So we pray that we may understand, illumined by thy Spirit, our God, and help us to understand and know just what to expect of him and of thy Son, the Lord Jesus. God, we are thankful for each one who is here, for those who are not here because of sickness, because of some trouble of heart. We pray, Father, that thou shalt speak to them. Give them health and strength, and give them spiritual recovery as well. So this morning, bless us. We confess our sins, be faithfully just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now, let's look at the explanation. And I remember, while I'm reading you about this explanation, how a learned brother of mine on one occasion was looking at a book and seeking to give its interpretation, and he said, "What is the outline that you think is the correct one of this book?" And I gave him the one that the Lord Jesus gave. I said, "The outline of this book is the things that are, the things that were, and the things that are going to come to pass. That is the outline that the Lord gives of the book of Revelation. The things that were, the things that are, and the things that are going to come to pass." And he said, "Well, that's a pretty good outline," he said, "but I'm going to give you mine." And so I shook my head. I said, "Isn't this a remarkable thing? The Lord Jesus has given you the outline of the book of Revelation." And this man says, "Well, that's pretty good, but I'm going to give you one that's better. But let me warn you that if the Lord Jesus gives an outline of a book, that is the outline of the book that is infallible. If the Lord Jesus gives you an explanation of a parable, that is the explanation of the parable that is infallible." So listen to what our Savior says in verse 36. "Then he left the multitudes and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, 'Explain unto us the parable of the tares of the field.' And he answered and said, 'He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. And the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy that sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the age.'" I'll explain that later. "And the reapers are angels." Now, could anything be clearer? He has step by step given you the explanation of the symbolical things in this parable. So listen to it once more. He says this. He says, "The man that sowed the good seed is myself, the Son of Man. The field in which he sowed those seeds is the world." He said, "The good seed are the sons of the kingdom, the tares are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy that sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are angels." I purposely go over that again to show you this is the way that we approach the parable and how we seek to interpret it. Verse 4. As therefore the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be in the end of the age. The Son of Man, who sowed them in the first place, shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that cause stumbling and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He that hath ears, let him hear. Now, having given the parable and having explained it in such detail, it seems impossible that anybody could misunderstand this parable. But here's what I find. As I read all the well-known commentators, those that most of us would trust, even they are not able to comprehend the teaching of this parable, and they intrude and interject in it something that Christ has not put there. Notice this, that in the first parable that Christ spoke, the purpose of his sowing the seed in the hearts of men is to convert the man. If the seed of the Word of God is in the heart of man and overpowers the man and makes him a new creature in Christ Jesus, then the man has become like the seed, and the progress is this. In the first parable, it's simply, he sows seed. No description. He sows seed. But every time in the second parable, notice how he describes the seed. He says, he sows good seed. The good seed. The good seed. And so he distinguishes between the two. The seed by itself is the Word of God. But the good seed are those who have been made children of God by the seed that was sown in their hearts. As for those that were wayside hearers and rocky ground hearers and thorny ground hearers, they were never converted. But the seed that fell into good ground, these are the ones who bring forth fruit. And now, in the progress, in the next parable, the Lord Jesus speaks of them. For that reason, in the second parable, there was absolutely no mention of evangelization, no mention of anything that is to be done, no activity on the part of those who are associated with the householder. They are to do nothing to the tares, but let them grow. And yet, one of the best men say, now, these tares that are there, they are to be evangelized. We can win the tares. But when you interject something like that into the parable, you destroy it. The Lord says, let the tares alone, let the wheat alone, let both grow together until the harvest. And the tares remain tares, and the good seed, the wheat, remains wheat. And so there is no evangelization in this parable. The evangelization is taking place in the first parable, and the evangelization will take place in the last parable, when you have the net cast into the sea, gathering a fish. But there is no evangelization here, because the condition of the wheat is fixed. They're wheat, never going to become tares. The tares' condition is fixed. It's never going to become wheat. That possibility took place in the first parable, when their hearts were sown. But a time comes when the condition of man is fixed. And if I ask you this, if the Word of God has worked in a man's heart and has caused him to become a new creature in Christ Jesus, will he ever revert and become an old creature again? You say, no. And if a sinner has once and for all and forever rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, will he ever become anything else other than a Christ-rejecting sinner? You say no, because the Word of God explains concerning some who have been evangelized and evangelized, and they will not respond. And therefore, this is what the Lord says eventually concerning certain ones. Let them alone. But Lord, you told us to go and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, let them alone. There is a time that comes when God says, do not work upon them anymore. Let them alone. This is what he says concerning Ephraim. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. This is what he says concerning Israel. Your house is left unto you desolate. You shall not see me henceforth, nor you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So in this parable, even though, of course, we are to preach the gospel to every creature, but there are some who are agents of Satan, who no matter how much you preach the gospel to them, after they have become tares, they are never going to become wheat, because they are agents of Satan. And so what the Lord says here is to simply let them both grow together in the field until the harvest. Now, the next point is this, and some of the finest men in the church are not able to comprehend. Please notice in the explanation, verse 36, explain unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. Now, let me ask you this. What would you think of a man when I asked him, having read this, what is the field? And he said, the church. What would you think of the man? He would say, well, there's something lacking in knowledge in the man. And yet some of the finest teachers in the church say that the field is the church. And Christ says, the field is the world. Well, now, whom are you going to believe? You say, well, I must take this, but somehow, can't we make the field, the world, the church? No. Because the good seed, which comprise the church, are going along with the tares, which comprise the sons of the evil one, in the field. So, the field is the world. And in this world, you have those that are God's children, and those that are sons of the evil one. And so the field is the world. The world can mean many things. But here, it is the globe on which we exist. At times, the globe on which we exist is representative of the people that live there. But just like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth. How? The world, the earth, the soil, it cannot believe, but that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The world at times is its occupants, and the world at times is the world's system. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You have the world system. But here, it is basically the globe on which we live. And in this world, you have God's agents, and you have Satan's agents. And if we know that there are Satan's agents in the world, the tendency and the temptation is to go and to destroy them. But the Lord says, no, let them alone. Let them grow. Whereas, if you find someone who is false in the church, the Lord doesn't say, let him alone. He says, put him out. Now, if you can't make that distinction, then try to grasp from 1 Corinthians 5. You have a sinner in the church, and the instruction is, put away that wicked man from among you. But it's not up to you and me to go to the Mormon church, to go to Jehovah's Witnesses, to go to Christian Scientists, and take them by the throat, and get rid of them so that they cannot do their service to the devil anymore. What happens is this. The Lord says they are in the world, and you are to leave them there, and they will continue there until the harvest. When sinners come into church, you try to convert them. But if you know that they are unsaved and they are not born again, you put them out of the church. They do not have all the privileges that are ours as God's dear children. So this is what the parable is speaking of concerning the parable of the tares of the field. That's the way that the disciples wanted to understand it. They said, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. But there are also wheat. There is wheat in that field. But they spoke of it as the tares of the field because that's what they could not understand. Now, his disciples have already wanted to do exactly what Christ is warning about in this parable. There are some who are enemies of the Lord Jesus. And when the Lord Jesus was going to pass through Samaria, the Jews had already hated the Samaritans, and the Samaritans would not receive the Lord Jesus. The sons of thunder said, do you want us to call down fire from heaven and destroy them? What are they wanting to do? Shall we go and root out these tares that are in the world? The Lord Jesus said, absolutely not. Why? Because he said in the parable, let them alone. Let both grow together until the time of the harvest. So what does it mean? It means that I'm to oppose the enemy, all of those who are agents of Satan. I preach the word. I'm to spread the truth. I'm to shine as light in the world. I'm to do everything I can to oppose them morally and spiritually, but I'm not to lay one hand on them. And this is so strange. Whereas the Lord Jesus could have prevented these seeds, the tares, from being sown by Satan, but he did not. God allowed Satan to do his work, and what he is expecting is his own seed to do his work, the work of his Father. All right. Now, what is so interesting is that at first it would seem as if they were to both be left alone, and that's all. But it says two things. It says, let both grow together. So they're not just there, but they are growing, they are developing. Now, let me give you the other hint to show you what is happening. Look at verse 30. As therefore the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels and shall gather out of his kingdom all things that cause stumbling and them that do iniquity. Now do you understand? You say yes. While those tares are in the field, they are causing stumbling and they are doing iniquity. Why, of course. Just look and see exactly what Satan has planted them there for. It is to do iniquity so that men will see their iniquity and will practice and also to cause stumbling. Now I will give you an example that the Lord Jesus himself gives, which cannot be denied, the causing of stumbling. It says concerning the church, you have the seven churches, it says you have some there that hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to commit fornication and eat things sacrificed to idols. You say, so that's what it means by causing the children to stumble, an occasion of stumbling. So here are the agents of Satan, and just as with the subtlety of Balaam, they are seeing how to cause the wheat to stumble, to sin, to become engaged in those things that are forbidden by God. Notice the subtlety of Balaam. Balaam was unable to curse the children of Israel. He said, God has forbidden that. And so Satan's workers cannot curse you and condemn you and destroy you. It's impossible for them to do that. But what they can do is to contaminate you and to ruin your testimony, just as Balaam told Balak how to succeed. He was unable to curse him the way Balak wanted him to, but he whispered in his ear. He said, do this. He said, call a sacrifice and get all of these lewd, loose women around. And then the children of Israel will come out, and they will join in with these heinous religious practices, and they will eat things sacrificed to idols, and they will commit fornication with the women. Just do what I say. And so though he could not curse them, he could contaminate them, and that is exactly what he did. And that is what Satan's agents today are trying to do. If they could, they would send us down to hell, but they cannot do that. But what they can do is to live a life of sin before you, and you look at that life, and it's so inviting, and it's so acceptable, that before you know it, your standards are lowered, and you're accepting this thing that at one time was repugnant in your sight. There used to be a time when virginity and purity were things to be praised, but now it's laughed at. Why, if a woman had a child out of wedlock, it was a thing that just wasn't accepted, wasn't tolerated. But now, you hear it so often. It used to be that if this thing happened in school, the students were expelled. But now, they have special classes and special treatment for those that are pregnant by illegitimacy, and they're going to bring forth these children. And now, they're to be accepted. And promiscuity, why, everyone does it, and they give you instructions as to how to keep from getting disease and how all of these things are to happen. And so the Christians stand by and say, well, I guess fornication isn't so bad after all, and everybody does it, and so if this girl does it, it's no great sin. And these illegitimate children that are brought into the world, why, it's no great thing. And then what has happened? Is that Balaam has succeeded again because of the evil practices in getting you to accept the morality or the immorality of the world and the ethics of the world. And so this is why the tares are there. It says they do iniquity, and all of the iniquity they do is what you do. You see, they're religious practices. You follow those religious practices. And so by their example, you are contaminated, and you are led astray, and your standards are lowered. Whereas the Lord Jesus says your standards should be the highest. The Old Testament standards were these: thou shalt not commit adultery. And the Lord Jesus said, not only are you not to accept adultery, he said, but whoso looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. You see, the Lord Jesus is not lowering the standards, but he's raising the standards. And what Satan is doing by his example and by his morality and by his philosophy and by his ethics is causing the strength and the life of godliness of the child of God to erode, to become lessened. And therefore, we are to become carnal, and the things that were frowned upon long ago are accepted today. Divorce and remarriage, why, it was not tolerated years ago. But now, how many times have you been married? It's not, have you ever, but how many times? That is a sad thing. And so all of this is taking place. And it says this concerning the tares. Listen to what Paul says. The tares are the wicked ones. It says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Don't you see what's happening? The tares are here, and they are being developed by Satan. It says they shall wax worse and worse, and they are deceiving, and they are being deceived. And that's what's happening to the world. The world that is filled with tares, the agents of Satan. And what is happening to you and me? I told you last week that in Mark chapter 4, we simply have a picture of the good seed in the world. Because here are only good seed, and the tares aren't looked at side by side with the seed in Mark chapter 4, but here they are. And just as evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, so the child of God should grow in grace. Now remember that word. It said, let both grow together. And this is the same word, the same root word in the original. It says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So you say, well, the tares are waxing worse and worse, yes, and the wheat is growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are to have our example in the world and to influence the world because we are the salt of the earth and we are the light of the earth. And our example is to influence others. And thank God, those that are not tares, they look at us and they are influenced. This is what the Lord Jesus said. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may behold your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So here we are. And the Lord Jesus here is simply letting us grow, letting us develop, letting us manifest the excellences of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And so this is what you have to put up with your whole life long. You have to put up with those that are getting worse and worse, whereas you have to have fellowship with Christians by God's grace who are getting better and better until that glorious day when our Savior shall return from heaven. So this is some part of the teaching of the parable of the wheat and the tares. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so sad that satanic agents and satanic activity is going on in the world. We know that He is zealous. Our Father, we pray that we shall be just as zealous. We see on other occasions that You tell us to go and preach the gospel to every creature, and You tell us to become more and more like Your Son, the Lord Jesus. And that is what we pray, our Father, that shall happen, that we shall shine more and more like the dawning of the day until the perfect day. Our Father, let us become more like Thy Son, the Lord Jesus. And let us detect the agents of Satan, those tares, and let us know their wiles and their machinations, and let us eschew them. And let us do all in our power to fight them the way that Your Son has told us to. Put on the whole armor of God that You may resist and stand against the evil one. And so, Father, let us be good soldiers, and let us be wheat, and let us do the things, and let us become the things that You want us to become. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.